Well, good morning, Grace Point. Pastor Taylor here with you. This is the second week in our end of summer sermon series, where we have just decided to allow God to lead and draw a variety of guest preachers to proclaim His Word to you throughout August and into September. And so it's just my joy and my privilege to announce your guest preacher today as Raul Dominguez. Raul serves Coleman First United Methodist Church, where he predominantly leads the Hispanic portion of their congregation. Raul has a heart for mission. He has a ferocious heart of transmitting God's love to God's people. He also has a passionate desire to remind Methodists who they are as Wesleyans. And not only that, Raul has decades of ministry experience under his belt and years of preaching and pastoring a variety of multicultural and multi-ethnic Christians. And so as he reads and proclaims God's word to you today, there's no doubt that God will be glorified as you are edified. As with all of our guest preachers, I ask that you welcome Raul not only with a warm heart, but with an open heart. And then as you give God praise and thanksgiving, that his grace would meet you where you need to be met today. Grace and peace.
Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, church. Thank you for welcoming me today. I'm going to be reading for you first Kings chapter 2, 10 to 12, and then I'm going to do a little bit of introduction to this sermon. We're going to pray about it. So I'm going to ask God for wisdom so that you will not find a stumbling block with my wonderful and beautiful Mexican super accent. It's a, you know, I find it distracting sometimes myself. But God is going to give us his wisdom because we're going to be speaking about wisdom. So let me read for you Kings chapter 2, verse 2 to 10 and 3 through 4. Can we stand up if you are able? So this is the word of God. David was king of Israel 40 years. He ruled 7 years from Hebron and 33 years from Jerusalem. Then he died and was buried in Jerusalem. His son Solomon became king and took control of David's kingdom. Solomon loved the Lord and followed his father David's instructions. But Solomon also offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the shrines. The most important shrine was in Gibeon, and Solomon had offered more than 1,000 sacrifices on that altar. One night, while Solomon was in Gibeon, the Lord God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Solomon, ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "My father David, your servant, was honest and did what you commanded. You were always loyal to him, and you gave him a son who is now king. Lord God, I'm your servant, and you have made me king in my father's place. But I'm very young and know so little about being a leader. And now I must rule your chosen people, even though there are too many of them to count. Please make me wise and teach me the difference between right and wrong. Then I will know how to rule your people. If you don't, there is no way I could rule this great nation of yours." God said, "Solomon, I am pleased that you asked for this. You could have asked to live a long time or to be rich. Or you could have asked for your enemies to be destroyed. Instead, you have asked for wisdom to make right decisions. So I'll make you wiser than anyone who has ever lived or ever will be. I also give you what you didn't ask for. You'll be rich and respected as long as you live. and you'll be greater than any other king. If you obey me and follow my commands, as your father David did, I'll let you live a long time. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive your word. And we ask you, Lord, that according to your mercy, and as we understand our brokenness and how difficult it is sometimes to concentrate and to focus on the things in heaven, because this earthly life sometimes is very distracting. So we ask you, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit you come and place your word in our hearts so that we can receive the word and then put it to practice as we learn what is it that you have for us in this day in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So you can see, I want to speak about this, the hard truth about wisdom. And I'm going to tell you something kind of foolish. I used to push my younger son to be better and to improve his health. And one time I was like, let's say, 10 years old. My youngest brother was about like 5 or 4, don't remember well, maybe 4. And we went to the grocery stores in Mexico. And when we were coming back, I was trying to tell him, okay, let's race, because I want him to run faster. So I wanted to push him by running a little bit faster than him. And then he was kind of crying, no, I cannot beat you, you're running too fast. And I was like, no, yes, you can. So in Mexico, what you used to have, in Mexico, you have walls in between the houses. So when you enter to the house where you lived for almost 12 years, there is this big brick wall, so you cannot know what is inside of the garage. The driveway. And I was looking backwards and I was telling my brother, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. So I got into the driveway looking backwards and you just waiting for my brother to come out right away because I was afraid for him to stop. I wanted him to run. When I turned back again forward, it was my dad's truck. But it was too late to stop. So I smashed my face. And if you can see this teeth right here, it's kind of brown. That's a way to remind me that how foolish I was. You know, even we need God's wisdom if we want to do better and if we want to transmit wisdom to the next generation. This wisdom doesn't come out of just reading a book. Which sometimes it works. There are three different kinds of wisdom. And the first one is the conventional wisdom. And it is a wisdom that all people in our culture are expecting to happen. So philosophically speaking, it's a wisdom that works for you at the moment. But it is something everyone expects you to do or to react. And the other wisdom is that personal wisdom. And sometimes when you want to grow in wisdom, that conventional wisdom is not going to be enough. So sometimes you're going to fight against the conventional wisdom. And those who embrace the conventional wisdom will look at you as if you were a fool. Okay? Because that's a conventional wisdom. And personal wisdom, when you want to go beyond that, is not always attached to conventional ways of the culture. Then you have the third kind of wisdom, which is the self-transcendence, where you know what God does in the past, and you understand what God wants to do in your future, so that you know what God is asking you to do in the present. So in that moment, you can transmit wisdom not only through your own experience, but also to the people you love and specifically to the coming generations. So that's what we are looking for, especially in these days where wisdom is not found very easy. A lot of people look wisdom through the news media, and you know, it's not going to work. It's not going to work, and we need to do better. We need to do better than just the news media. We have to dig in, and sometimes we're going to be kind of unpopular. But then, the first thing we need to understand is that before we request this gift of knowledge, you need to have a deep love relationship with God. If we remember what happened right there at the beginning, in one of the first verses, it says that one night while Solomon was in Gibeon, the Lord God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Solomon, ask anything you want, and I will give it to you. If I were Solomon," my daughter is going to laugh, "I will ask for a Lamborghini compact turbo." But no, I wasn't there. You know, imagine, I tell my family, how good will I serve in a Lamborghini? I will make faster visitations all around Coleman. Yeah, right. So one of the things is that before he received this opportunity, we read in verse 3 that Solomon loved the Lord and followed his father David's instructions. So, you know, it's hard to understand this, but to get this opportunity to learn what is wisdom, there has to be a background of following and being faithful to God. Okay, it's not going to come just because you want to be wise, and then God doesn't see that you will appreciate wisdom. So you see, it was in Gibeon. Remember that was when the Torah. Well, when the covenant of God was renewed, and he was allowed to go to those places because there was not a temple. And remember that Solomon was going to be in charge of all of this. He was going to build a temple to God. The thing is that he did what he knew it was best. He was using the conventional wisdom. Then God saw his heart. And when he saw his heart, he said to Solomon, "Ask for anything you want." Ask for, if we, have you read Psalm number 20, I mean, number 2, verse 8? It says, "Ask me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possessions." So this is a psalm written by David, and I'm sure Solomon knew by heart each word of it, and he knew that he could have asked for all of his enemies to surrender to him. He was like, no, he didn't go that way, but God was willing to offer him anything because he was somebody who loved God and followed God's instructions. You know, one of the things that I always tell as a Methodist pastor is that Christian perfection, a lot of people don't like the word perfection, but it's in the Bible. You know, if you go to chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 47, you'll find it right there. And you see that is the right way to love people, even our enemies. They slap you in one cheek, you present the other. And how do you do that? When you love the Lord. So loving God is going to make us holy again, and we will make us whole again. So he is, this person who loves the Lord, is given this opportunity to ask whatever he wants. So it's not just anyone. It's not just anyone. And I like what Billy Graham, some people might not like it, but I do like what he said right here. God speaks to those who are preparing their hearts to listen. Discern the voice from heaven above the noisy din of earth's confusion. So what he means is like, If we are not prepared to listen to God, then we are not going to know what He is saying to us. And one way to listen and understand and discern God's voice is when we worship God wholeheartedly. When we worship God with all of our mind. When, you know, it's very important. This Methodist way to come and sing hymns and songs and unite our voices with the leaders is not just like, let's be like the great churches. No. It's because we need to love God. And one way to express it is to surrender our voices and our tone of voices to the tone of voices that are leading the worship. It's a self-sacrifice. You may have a better song you want to sing. You may have a better tone you want to sing. But then you surrender and you're like, God, we are here in your presence. And we're here to love you as a body. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to love you. We're going to remember you. Because it's basic and fundamental. If you want to discern God's voice, is to love God with all your heart. You know, John chapter 14, verse 21 says, He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Okay, so it's about love. It's about a connection of love to God. So he's saying, I'm not just going to manifest myself to anyone. If you love me, it means you follow my commandments. And then you see the pattern right there with Solomon. So he loves the Lord and follows all the directions of his father David. And then God manifests to him. Isn't that great? So that's what happens. If you love the Lord, God is promising you he will manifest to you. And one way to manifest to you is to give you wisdom. Because we need to be wise and understanding of what's going on in these days. The days are not good. The days are evil. There's so much confusion. So we need to be wise to understand actually what God wants us to do. And one thing that I wanted to tell you before I start all this is that, you know, if you really want to be wise, the Proverbs said, Solomon wrote in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And fear of the Lord is this intimate relationship of love and surrendering our lives before the greatness of God. And that's the beginning of wisdom. I love that. Because God is not going to manifest to people who don't appreciate his wisdom. And the second thing that I need to tell you about these hard things about, the hard truth about wisdom is that God expects for us to have self-knowledge and personal responsibility. It's not just for anyone. The hard truth is that if we want to be really wise, we need to know ourselves. The hard truth is that if we really want to receive this wisdom, we need to take personal responsibility. It's not just about becoming a teacher, because the teachers are going to be judged most severely. So you don't just want to be a teacher of the Bible. You want to apply it constantly to your life. And self-knowledge is very important. I was thinking about, have you read Dostoevsky? Dostoevsky, he says something very powerful. And he said, if you want to have a tree that grows all the way up to heaven, you need to have that tree to go all the way down to hell. Those roots need to go all the way down to hell. And the meaning of that picture means if you really want to raise your character to the maximum level, you need to know your darkness. You need to know your sins. You need to know yourself. And that's very Wesleyan. That's very Wesleyan. Knowing ourselves. Confessing our sins. And you know, we need the community. We need each other to confess our sins. We sometimes aren't aware of the sins we're committing. Sometimes somebody needs to tell us, hey, brother, that's not the right way to react to your son or to your daughter or to the pastor or to the members of the church. And that's what we need, is small groups of accountability. You know, I'm going to tell you, I don't use books for my small groups. I use the sermon that I preach. And I see if my small group is taking responsibility in following the application of the sermon. Because if you add more knowledge to people and they do not put it into practice, the Word of God is very strict about it. He says that the one who receives much, what? Much will be demanded. And if you want to know more, is Jesus Christ said, how will I compare the one who listened my word and put it into practice? I will compare him to the wise man who built his house on the rock. And then there was the rain and wind, and the river came, and the waters did not make much damage to his house. But whom will I compare to the one who listens the word and won't put it into practice? He's like a foolish man who put his house on the sand. The rain came, the water went through, and great was his damage. So, you know, that's very important. We need to practice what we listen when we're listening to God's word. That is wisdom. And I do that with my church. I don't want to fill them with information. I want to see if they are practicing what they know already. So, self-knowledge. And the third one is willing to pay the price. Are we willing to pay the price? Ah, I didn't know I was going to finish this fast. I mean, Pastor Taylor said that I could preach for an hour. Nobody has offered that to me in Alabama, you know. You know, when I first started to preach, I used to preach 20-minute sermons. And when I was in Mexico, you have pastors who preach for 45 minutes to an hour. So 20 minutes, I will finish, and people will look at me like, is that all? So I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to go 1 hour more, because then after they wanted me to preach more, I used to preach for an hour, but I have gained some wisdom in a hard way. So, you know, it's very important for us to understand what God wants us and how we can become become prepared. I think I passed the second point, right? Okay, self-knowledge and responsibility is what I was trying to say, and I didn't finish correctly. I made a mistake here. I made a mistake there. But self-knowledge and responsibility. You know, verse number 7 said, "Lord God, I am your servant, and you've made me king in my father's place." But I am very young and know so little about being leader, and now I must rule your chosen people, even though there are too many of them to count. So in other words, self-knowledge. And that's why we need the community. Self-knowledge. I am very young. So he's very, very sincere. I cannot do it by myself. And that's what we need the church sometimes, to let us know how weak we are. And then he has such a humble perception of himself. You know, when we have a humble perception of ourselves, we have to remember the first blessing. What is the first benediction? Blessed are who? Who? The poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. Because what? Theirs, the kingdom of God. And if we understand that, this is beautiful. If we understand that, it means that the most we know our brokenness, the more willing God is to deliver us from our human nature. Those who are so proud of themselves and think they are rich, they will not receive God's wisdom. So, I am young. And then he says, your chosen people. In other words, I am so little and these wonderful people of yours. And one of the things we are asked to do is to love God's church. Because it's God's people. They've been created into God's image. And we have to understand that we cannot do it by ourselves if we do not value the others as higher than ourselves. Yes. So, I found this from John Bunyan. John Bunyan, I forgot the name of the book he wrote, but John Wesley used to like him a lot. He wrote this poem. It says, he that is down needs fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. I am content with what I have, little be it or much, and Lord, contentment still I crave, because thou savest such. In other words, this is a poem that the name of the poem is The Shepherd Bay. The Shepherd Bay sings in the valley of humiliation. The more we find contentment despite the things we don't have, the more we find a grateful and thankful heart before God, the more God finds pleasure in us. He is looking for those people. In James, I was telling you about James. I don't want to make much of this because the last time they were like, oh, really? Oh. But I used to read this book before I became a Methodist. I can tell you that reading James helped me to become a Methodist. I was raised as a Catholic until I was 19 years old. But reading James helped me to understand why I wanted to become a member of the Methodist Church. James is beautiful. And he says, I'm reading James 1:5-6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So James is saying, crave for wisdom. We need wisdom. And wisdom is given in specific times when we don't really know what to do. And when you are in that part of your life where you do not know what you do, you are in the right place. When you're like asking, what shall I do? And you are in the precise place where God wants to see you so you can value his revelation. Because other way around, we'll take things for granted. And that's not good for our souls. So that's why those moments when we don't know what to do with our kids, our daughters, our sons, our church, our members, our community. Those are key moments where God is saying, get ready. I'm getting you ready to bless you with wisdom. I like New King James Version very much, and especially this part. It says Luke 12:48, but he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone who to whom much is given, for him much will be required. And to whom much is being committed, of him they will ask the more. Okay, this is personal responsibility. Once the Lord reveals to you something, it is going to be because he's going to require you to give accounts of what you know. So it's hard to, you know, it's not just about make me wise. Because when you say, I want to be wise, the Lord is saying, I'm going to require the wisdom that I'm going to reveal to you. So we have to be ready for that. So the last thing, I'm sorry that I passed this without knowing, is that we have to be willing to pay the price. Willing to pay the price is not easy. Because much of the learning comes through experience of hardship. And that's the transcendental wisdom. Wisdom is not cheap. Wisdom is very expensive. And this wisdom comes when we, walking with the Lord, we face a lot of hardships. Remember, God gave all of this to Solomon, and it was conditional. He was loved. People from other countries used to come just to listen to him. That the queen of Saba came just to listen for him. Everybody just came just to hear his wisdom, his proverbs. He was given anything he wanted. Okay? Was he willing to pay the price? I think that at the beginning he did. We remember how he managed to give the right judgment with these two prostitutes. And he uses personal wisdom. What is his personal wisdom? He didn't conform to the conventional wisdom. When these ladies are fighting, he says, okay, cut the baby in half and give half and half to these women. And then the one who was not the mother, she said, go ahead. The one who was the mother said, no, let her have the baby. And that was very unconventional. That was personal wisdom. But he lacked the transcendental experience to pass his wisdom to the next generation. Even though he was the wisest man of the world, he did something wrong. Remember, there were a lot of commandments, a lot of revelation in the past saying, don't become rich. Don't have so many horses. Don't do any covenants with other people. Don't do that. And what he did, he got a lot of wives. He made a lot of peaceful agreements with other nations. He tried to secure his kingdom with riches, with relations, in a very conventional way. It was against God's will. Do we see how God was telling him, try to deny a little bit more of yourself? Don't try to secure yourself. Sometimes the best advice of wisdom is from Jesus Christ, and always is to carry your cross, to deny yourself, and follow the Lord. And sometimes that's very difficult because it's very hard and it's very painful. But we need to be willing to pay the price. The Word of God says, God said, Solomon, I am pleased that you've asked for this. You could have asked to live a long time or to be rich, or you could have asked for your enemies to be destroyed. Instead, you asked for wisdom to make right decisions. Wow. So he said, I'm going to make you wiser than any other person in the world. He's saying, I'm going to make you wiser. I am pleased because you have asked this. Wow. I'm pleased that you didn't ask for material things. You've asked for wisdom. Wisdom. You know, wisdom is another way God gives to his son, or the word of God. Wisdom. Ernest, this is a Guinean person, Ernest Agiman Jaboa. He's written like 6 books, but he wrote a book of philosophy, life, and reactions. How do you live your life according to your philosophy? And he said this: if you can really do all things from a true heart, in truth and in spirit, as a living sacrifice unto God, you shall really see and hear heaven clapping for you. And it was God clapping for Solomon, because he didn't request money nor riches. He wanted just wisdom. So he denied himself. It was a good start. He was doing great. Yes. He was about to continue. And then we have Thomas Aquinas, who says, obedience unites us so closely to God that it, in a way, transforms us into Him, so that we have no other will but His. If obedience is lacking, even prayer cannot be pleasing to God. I like what Thomas Aquinas said. It's about obedience. I mean, if he wouldn't have obeyed God and loved God, he was not going to be able to ask for wisdom. So he needed to have that. He needed to have this wisdom. But this wisdom comes through hardships. And hardship sometimes comes out of pain, travail, and suffering. That's the wisdom we need to have. So, the last thing. I'm going to let you go now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 to 24, it says, for Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But for those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So, since we were not willing to pay the price of taking our cross, denying ourselves, and we can see that on the wisest king on earth, and that it was Solomon. He was not willing to risk his reputation. He was looking for greatness. So what did he do? What did he do? He neglected this opportunity to deny himself. Instead of denying himself, he looked for pleasures. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he knew that we needed this grace of denying. Because that's the wisest thing we can do. To participate in the sufferings of Christ might be foolishness for others, but for God is the wisest thing we can do. Being antagonistic to the conventional wisdom, because we don't know what's going on. We just don't know. Well, the best way to practice wisdom is when you and I, we deny ourselves. We go the second mile. We suffer. We don't pay back when they use harsh words against us. We love them. And you need to listen to this. But to have that grace, Jesus needed to touch the worst kind of rejection man could have ever experienced on the cross. The God of glory, the God who was always worshipped forever, he appeared as a foolish man, but for God was the wisest man. And he's saying, don't be afraid. It's don't be afraid, church. Yeah, sometimes you're going to appear to be the foolish ones. But if you are partaking in my sufferings, you're just where you need to be. So there are three things. That's the hard truth about wisdom. You cannot attain it if you don't have a deep relationship with God. And it's not going to work for your good if you don't know yourself and take personal responsibility. And especially, it's not going to be enough for you just to know what is good if you're not willing to pay the price. So let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this moment of grace and wisdom that you have given us and provide us through your word and through worship and through community. And God, we place ourselves as a living sacrifice before you. Help us to be living sacrifices so that we can become the wisdom of God to all those who are looking for answers of what is going on in these days. Help us, God, to provide maybe not the answers, but the right response in love, humility, kindness. And in all those things we disagree with, let us always use words influenced by your grace. We might appear to be fools, but we don't want to be the wisest people in the eyes of the world, but only in your eyes, God. Thank you for Jesus has given his life to provide us this grace that's going to empower us to live out and to incarnate his wisdom in this earth. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.